Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we're going to take an in-depth look at the 10 nominees for the ARIA's Radio Times Moment of the Year Award. We're going to be hearing about some of the stories behind the pieces, why you should vote for their entry, and a flavour of the audio itself. You can vote for your favourite moment at radiotimes.com/audio/radio, ARIA's Moment of the Year 2025 vote. But before you do, let's get into it with our first group of entries. Our first three entries show the contrast in our nominees. In a moment, we'll hear from Michelle Hussein and some of her jaw-dropping interview with the then Home Secretary, James Cleverly. Prepare yourself for some strong-ish language, which gets repeated a lot. Then we have a light-hearted moment with Frank Skinner working out how to start his new podcast with his co-hosts. But first, a highly emotional entry. In February 2024, just days after the sudden death of the Radio 2 legend Steve Wright, Lisa Tarbuck presented Sunday Love Songs as a tribute to her friend and colleague. And the listeners shared just how much he meant to them too. Producer Andy Worrell tells us more.
On Sunday the 18th of February, I produced a special edition of Love Songs presented by Lisa Tarbuck, just 6 days after the terribly sad news that Steve Wright had died. This show celebrated Steve's incredible connection with his listeners and the special place he had in their lives, marking major milestones and moments over the years. Now, Steve had launched Love Songs back in March 1996. There was no pre-Steve era, and his last ever Love Songs was actually a pre-Valentine's show the previous Sunday, the 11th of February. This show was close to his heart, and he took such great care of it for 28 years, from 96 to 2024. As many listeners said, he became part of the family, reading out every request as if he was talking to a friend. There were some very heartfelt messages on this particular show, including this one from Jackie and Steve in Norfolk, who shared their memories just looking back, remembering their last dance with Steve the week before.
I know there'll be many, many messages of love and great memories of Steve today, but I want to add my own, say Jackie and Steve Foxcroft there in Norfolk. If I may, you may. Steve's shows were a part of my life growing up. He was on the radio when I lived at home with my parents, and then when I had my own home, he followed me there. On Sunday mornings, me and my husband, also called Steve, would dance in the kitchen while our two daughters would cringe with embarrassment. When our eldest, Georgina, turned 18, we were fortunate enough to have Steve read out a dedication. And as we mentioned, we were having a family party. He made his usual quip of asking if he could come too. I tried many other times to get a mention, particularly for my second daughter, Charlotte, when she turned 18. But not so fortunate, pure testament of Steve's popularity. When me and Steve were dancing last Sunday in the kitchen to Love Songs, we would never have imagined that... that would be our last dance with the amazing Steve Wright. He was part of our family.
Why should I win the amazing, fabulous, wonderful moment of the year? I think it was pretty special. Everyone likes a resurrection. And I was basically dead in the water, having been hoofed out by Absolute Radio. And I think getting back on podcasts, the great thing about podcasts is it's sort of the age of punk and everyone can do it and no one can hold you back. And it's hard to get sacked. And so it was a sort of a personal triumph for me. And I tried to make it funny. I even wrote a song. I mean, come on, give an old guy a break.
So listen, it was either this or Panto. I chose this. I've written, literally this morning, I've written an opening titles thing. And obviously it's subject to approval by you guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You probably couldn't tell in that this is an oral thing that subject to approval.
I didn't know. Is that kind of podcast?
Well, apparently we can do what we like.
Yeah.
But I'm too old for that stuff.
Take it away.
I mean that you might not have heard the inverted commas on subject to approval. Anyway, this is what I'm thinking, right? Oh, hold on, let's turn the paper over. So it goes, it's Frank off the radio, featuring him and that posh lady-o, and the one with the French name, who from South Africa came. They're all here, open brackets, hooray, close brackets, today.
Oh, come on.
Obviously, I'll do a slicker version for the next show, but that's...
I definitely think you should keep the open and closed brackets. Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I am very honoured to have an interview of mine under consideration as one of Radio Times' moments of the year. It was actually, I think, my very first day on air in 2024, a year that turned out to be really consequential in my career, because close to the end of the year, I left the BBC for Bloomberg. But this was a moment with which the year began. And my editor and I knew that we wanted to talk to James Cleverly and ask him about language and some of his choices and reported comments that had been in the headlines. But I never thought that I would end up having to clarify the question and the point in that way, and therefore end up having to say shit 7 times, apparently. So that was quite an experience.
There was a time it was reported that you'd called a government policy batshit. There was the personal place you referred to in Parliament as a shithole.
No, I didn't.
Place, you did say, didn't you, that
no.
It was a place?
No, I absolutely didn't.
You didn't use the word shithole in Parliament?
No, I didn't.
So when you picked up on a microphone, who was talking? Who said the word in Parliament?
No. You need to do better research, because I've made it very, very clear what I said. I was referring to an individual.
Okay. You used the word shit, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But the point is, what you just accused me of, very, very different and completely wrong.
Okay. You're fine. You say that you did say that that a person was a shit. Other people heard different things. But the third thing I was going to say is you've just clarified this.
Why did you make that last comment?
Other people said they heard shithole. You're saying you said shit. Fine. The third thing
The other people can only hear what I said. I know what I said.
And other people heard something else.
No, they didn't. They couldn't have, because I only said one thing.
Okay.
I had to warn my mother afterwards that if she saw various headlines pop up about me swearing, that there was a bigger story at play. And there was a huge reaction to that particular moment. I think listeners can judge for themselves and maybe compare it to the audio from the Commons and to what other people heard Mr. Cleverly, or thought they heard Mr. Cleverly say. He and I have met since. We spoke on air at the Conservative Party conference last year, and we met very amicably before that interview. Neither of us mentioned the last time we spoke on air. But if you enjoyed that moment, please vote for it.
Our next two entries come from BBC Local Radio and show the power of the listener. On BBC Radio Stoke, presenter Stuart George tells us about an extraordinary conversation that occurred during a phone-in on dementia. But first, over to Justin Dealey from BBC Three Counties and how an off-the-cuff comment led to one of the biggest bands in the world celebrating Luton.
The background to this is Radio 1's Big Weekend came to Luton last year, and we are the local radio station for Luton. And the day that Radio 1 announced it was Coldplay as the headline act on the Sunday, I happened to be in the town that day getting some instant reaction, not only for radio, but it was being filmed for social media as well, which really helped with what came next. Now, when it comes to football, Luton's local rivals just down the road are Watford, and Watford play in yellow. As for Luton, Luton play in orange, and not only that, but EasyJet is based in the town as well, so it's fair to say that Luton is an orange town. So when I was getting some reaction, I met a lady called Beck Starr, who was walking her kids to school. I made a jokey comment, and her quick-witted response led to a campaign that then led to Coldplay doing something that they had never done before. Here's what happened.
The only thing is, though, being in Luton, they can't perform the song Yellow, can they? Because Watford playing Yellow.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. It should be changed to Orange and Blue, shouldn't it?
One of your friends and family had to say to you about your idea of Coldplay performing Orange instead of Yellow?
They think it's crazy. My mile a minute mouth.
But if Chris Martin gets to listen to this, and trust me, Bex, we're going to try and get this to Chris Martin from Coldplay. What is your direct message to him, the lead singer of the biggest band in the world?
You have to. You're coming to Luton for one night only. Do as you're told, buddy.
It reached me that there were some people in Luton who were worried or disgruntled or maybe even angry about the concept of our band coming here and singing a song called Yellow. But because of the Hatters at Kenilworth Road and the Luton Town Football Club. This is especially for you. This is a new song that appeared last night in the middle of the night. This is called Orange. I was born.
Wow. Forget changing the lyrics. Chris Martin has just written a new song for the people of this town called Orange. That is incredible.
I'm also a Luton fan, so you can imagine what that moment meant to me personally. So why do I think people should vote for this as the Radio Times moment of the year? Well, working in radio for me is all about the greater good. This was a campaign that was led by one of our listeners, and what it did, it brought the whole community together. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the people of Luton. And that song by Coldplay was the last song of a magical 3 days. A moment that will live long in the memory and a moment that could never, ever be recreated. That's why, for me, I hope people vote for it as the Radio Times moment of the year.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. For me, radio should always be about the listener, their lives, their concerns, celebrating their successes and hearing them. I spend more time listening than talking on the show, if I can. This call came in the middle of a series we were doing on dementia, and it's a story you never hear.
I don't feel that I've got my own life anymore. If it was someone that I've genuinely cared for, I wouldn't have a problem. I do this because she's my mother and someone's got to do it, and I cannot trust the carers to do it. I'm a human being. She's a human being. You know, I wouldn't treat a dog in a bad way, let alone a human being. I do it as a sense of duty. Nothing more than that.
How do you feel each morning when you know you've got to go round and see her?
Depressed. It's not exactly the highlight of my day, shall we say. To be fair, I don't mind going and doing the DIY stuff around there because I enjoy doing DIY. The problem when I'm around there is that all the time I'm there, she's screaming and screaming and screaming because of the dementia. And if I go and speak to her about it, you know, go in there and say, what's up? What do you want? She'll tell me that it's not her that's screaming. It's someone coming in impersonating her. And in her mind, that's what she believes. But it's so annoying and so frustrating when you're trying to concentrate on doing things. Now, I know she can't help it, but the fact that I've got such a resentment for her makes it that much more difficult to accept that fact.
What do you want to happen?
Frankly, to die. Simple as that. It would just release me from this hell.
Giving listeners that space to talk openly about their experiences, however difficult it might be to listen to, I think is really important for what we do on local BBC radio. And the other thing I couldn't quite believe was how many other people shared that same sentiment, that same feeling, and were there to offer support to this man as he was going through a really tough time.
We're halfway through our nominees now, and before the next five, remember you can hear the full clips at radiotimes.com/audio/radio ARIA's Moment of the Year 2025 vote. In this next batch, Ewan Davis challenges the then Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Laura Trott, over her figures on BBC Radio 4's PM programme. Liz Crawford from Times Radio gets an earful from Marjorie Taylor Greene, the US representative for Georgia. But first, another emotional entry when the veteran broadcaster Johnny Walker presented his final show on BBC Radio 2. Here's producer Liz Barnes to tell us more.
Johnny Walker was a broadcasting legend whose career spanned an incredible 58 years. At the beginning of October 2024, Johnny made the poignant decision to present his final show at the end of that month because of his ongoing health struggles. It marked the end of an era in broadcasting, an era that Johnny, along with his peers, had so profoundly shaped. Throughout his career, Johnny had demonstrated a masterful command of the airwaves, with unparalleled knowledge, impeccable musical taste, and a presenting style all of his own. His contributions to the industry were nothing short of extraordinary, and he remained a beacon of excellence in broadcasting until the very end. In his final years, Johnny faced the relentless challenges of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, a condition that causes severe scarring of the lungs, making it incredibly difficult for him to even breathe, let alone speak. Despite requiring 24-hour oxygen, Johnny's determination remained unshaken.
So here we are, the end of a 15-year run on Sunday afternoon, Sounds of the 70s, and 58 years on British radio. And it's going to be very strange not to be on the wireless anymore. But also, by the same token, life will be slightly less of a strain, really, trying to find the breath to do programmes. So thank you for being with me all these years. And take good care of yourself and those you love. And maybe walk into the future with our heads held high and happiness in our hearts. God bless you. And I'll end with this.
His final show was always going to be a momentous occasion, and he was determined to make it one of the very best, despite the debilitating illness he faced. With his trademark stoic sincerity, Johnny poured his energy into carefully curating the musical selection for his farewell. He said goodbye to his legions of dedicated listeners in the most genuine, heartfelt way possible, leaving behind an extraordinary and lasting memory. The closing moments of his show were a beautiful, moving tribute to an incredible career. A heartfelt sign-off, unfussy but full of love to his adoring audience. An incredible moment that really brought a tear to the eye of all who listened. Everyone knew it was a moment in broadcasting history. Johnny Walker, we salute you.
You're the cause of our country being divided. You're the cause of President Trump almost being assassinated.
So you're probably wondering how I got here. Hi, I'm Jo Crawford, Times Radio's multimedia reporter. Last year at the RNC, days after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, I bumped into Marjorie Taylor Greene and asked her to speak to me.
So Vance, he said that the UK could be the first Islamist country with nuclear weapons under the new Labour government. Doesn't that paint a sour picture for relations with the UK?
Well, let's talk about the words of the Democrats and Joe Biden that have also labeled President Trump as a fascist, labeled all of us as Nazis and Hitler, completely lied, demonizing him so much so that a young man, a 20-year-old, which is hard to imagine, actually climbed onto a roof and tried to murder President Trump.
With only a few minutes to prepare, I set up my camera, and that's when this happened.
You're the cause of everything wrong in
America. But where's your evidence for those claims?
No, you're done.
Just to clarify, I'm obviously not the cause of everything wrong in America, but the interview went slightly viral nonetheless. So why vote for me, Jo Crawford, for Moment of the Year? Well, I guess if there's anything Marjorie is good at, it's at highlighting the urgent need for good journalism, for journalists who hold those in power to account and who ask for evidence in the face of blatant mistruths. And if you don't vote for me, well,
shame on you. Shame on you.
All jokes aside, it's an absolute honour to be nominated for this, so thank you to the Radio Academy.
When Laura Trott appeared on PM last February, she was Chief Secretary to the Treasury. It was a normal political interview. She was paid, of course, to be across the numbers as Chief Secretary. But what ensued was an intriguing political interview as we debated the government's plans for the public finances. And Laura Trott seemed shaky on some of the details.
What is puzzling me is how you can be even talking about tax cuts when a central pledge is getting debt down and debt is going up.
So the central pledge is one of our fiscal rules, which is that debt needs to be falling over the five-year fiscal forecast as a percentage of GDP, which it is.
No, it's higher in 5 years than now.
Not as a percentage of GDP.
Yeah, no, it's higher. It's going up. It's lower in the fifth year relative to the fourth year. So it goes down at the end of the projection. But in 5 years, I think it's higher at the end of the project. Yeah, 23.4, 89% of GDP. 28.9, it's 93% of GDP. Debt goes up. It falls at the end of 5 years a little bit. But that doesn't mean debt is coming down. That means debt is going up. It's higher. It's higher in 5 years than now.
It's falling as a, well, as a percentage of GDP.
No, it's higher as a percentage of GDP.
I'm not sure. I think...
Well, this is really basic. I'm looking at the latest OBR table, public sector net debt, ex-Bank of England, 28.9, 92.8%, 23.4, 89%. So it's up in 5 years. Now, I'm amazed that you don't know that debt is rising, but you're the one who's planning...
No, it's not as a percentage of GDP.
I'm looking at the percentage of GDP.
This is... I think I need to have the figures. I've got different figures, so I think we just need to...
You can vote for it for the Radio Times Moment of the Year to celebrate a great piece of live broadcasting which showed real scrutiny of the government of the day.
Our final two pieces show just how radio can connect people. When Christo Fufas presented his last show on Talk, he was reminded of a life-changing conversation he'd had with a listener 4 years previously. But before that, Dan Noble on Absolute was moved to talk about how he was feeling during the right-wing demonstrations of the summer of 2024.
Hi, I'm Dan Noble and I present on Absolute Radio. I am one of the youngest national radio presenters, and so to be considered for this highly prestigious award is something I feel incredibly proud about. My moment in question was my experience as a mixed race Asian and English man with dealing with racism online and also in the prospect of it in person with the various race riots that were going on last summer off the back of the horrendous attack in Southport that took place. My link really was about my experience, but also about how great it was to see various communities and people of all different backgrounds coming together, looking after each other and standing up against hatred. And it's something I'm very proud to have been considered for as the Radio Times Moment of the Year. If you vote for me, you know, I'd be incredibly grateful, of course.
You'll be ultra aware we've got these far-right rallies being planned and we've got groups of people absolutely terrified to leave their houses and their work and feeling unsafe in their own country and finding their cars set on fire or homes and places of work being vandalised. And speaking myself as a mixed-race Asian man, which odds are you aren't aware of, this is radio after all, this has been the first time in my life where I felt this level of hatred that a group of people, albeit a small group of people when you look at the bigger picture, are channelling. I got text from friends yesterday checking that I was safe, right? I've seen people like publicly saying they would stay at home for their safety. In 2024, how mad is that? But I think the biggest takeaway from the events of yesterday in particular actually is seeing these scenes of hundreds, no, thousands of people turning up to support the diverse communities where they live, the people they spend their time with, the people they see in the streets, the people they share a street with, and to so bravely say no to the people who are quite clearly trying to just cause more division. I think really my takeaway is I'm glad there's more people who choose to love than to hate. And if you're one of those people, just know you are the best of us.
I believe that someone should vote for my piece of audio to win the ARIA Award because it shows the power of radio between a presenter and a listener.
You probably don't remember, but going back to when you did the late night shows on talk radio, you did a mental health program and I phoned in because I was going through a really, really dreadful time. And quite literally, you saved my life. That's not an exaggeration. Quite literally, talking to you that night saved my life.
I remember, Simon. I remember, and you were... You'd tried to end it, hadn't you? And you
had.
You felt really guilty, and you didn't want to speak to your children because you felt so guilty about the fact that you tried to end it, right?
Exactly.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
And honestly, I can't thank you enough.
I'm humbled that the listener thought that I saved his life by calling my show, and it's amazing and, again, humbling that he chose to thank me for it, which is the Radio Moment of the Year I'm nominated for. And I just think it really goes to show the power of radio that it can quite literally save someone's life. And I would love that moment to be acknowledged. I'd also love the fact that it's a late night and early breakfast show that is being acknowledged. And those off-peak presenters, I think, in radio sometimes don't get the recognition they deserve. So it would be so special to win.
A big thank you to everyone for sending me their messages, and good luck to all 10 nominees for the Radio Times Moment of the Year. Voting closes on the 1st of May, so head to radiotimes.com/audio/radio ARIA's Moment of the Year 2025 vote to choose your favourite. The ARIAs are at the Odeon Lux in Leicester Square in London, and tickets for the big night on the 14th of May are now on sale. All the details you need are on our homepage, radioacademy.org. And don't miss out, because they're selling fast. I'll see you next week.